Hello and welcome to another episode of Twimmel Talk, the podcast where I interview interesting people doing interesting things in machine learning and artificial intelligence. I'm your host, Sam Charrington. Today we're joined by Rob Walker, Vice President of Decision Management at Pegasystems. Rob joined us back in episode 127 to discuss hyper-personalizing the customer experience. And today he's back for a discussion about the role of empathy in AI systems. In our conversation, we dig into the role that empathy plays in consumer-facing human-AI interactions, the differences between empathy and ethics, and a few examples of the ways that empathy should be considered when building enterprise AI systems. So what do you think? Should empathy be a consideration in AI systems? And if so, do any examples jump out for you of where and how it should be applied? We'd love to hear your thoughts on the topic. Feel free to reach out with a tweet at Sam Charrington or leave a comment on the show notes page with your thoughts. Before we jump in, I'd like to thank Rob and the folks at Pega for sponsoring this episode. If the topic of AI empathy piques your interest, I'd encourage you to join Rob and I at PegaWorld June 2nd through 5th in Las Vegas, where he'll be delivering a keynote on this very topic. At the event, you'll also hear great stories of AI applied to the customer experience at real Pegasystems customers, and of course, I'll be there and speaking as well. To register, visit PegaWorld.com and use the promo code TWIMMEL19 when you sign up for $200 off. Again, that's TWIMMEL19. It's as easy as that. Hope to see you there. And now, on to the show. All right, everyone, I am on the line with Rob Walker. Rob is the Vice President of Decision Management and Analytics with Pegasystems. You may remember Rob's name from Twimmel Talk number 127 on hyper-personalizing the customer experience with AI. Rob, welcome back to This Week in Machine Learning and AI.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. Glad to be back.
Absolutely glad to have you back. I'm looking forward to what I believe will be a really interesting conversation on the role of empathy in AI. For folks that want to learn more about you, I'll refer them back to the previous episode, but give us a quick overview of your focus at Pegasystems.
Yes, happy to do that. So within Pega, I'm responsible for our AI space. But we really try, I mean, there's so much hype around AI, and we don't do AI just for AI's sake. We really try to focus on making AI work for, you know, typically pretty large enterprises and typically in the area of customer engagement, right? So in the previous episode, we talked about hyper-personalization, and hyper-personalization is really trying to be, you know, one-to-one conversations with customers for companies to do that. And that requires a lot of AI. It also requires lots of other things, but AI is an important aspect of that. And that's what I mostly worry about. And also sort of areas around AI. It's not just, hey, AI is cool, let's use that in customer engagement to make customer engagement better, but it's stuff like, can we trust it? Who in the organization should be responsible for it if it makes weird decisions, if there is a bias, those kind of things. So that's typically what I worry about.
The concept that kept coming up in our last conversation, I think this is pretty central to the way you think about applying AI to optimizing customer experiences, is this idea of helping your customers figure out the next best action to take with their customers. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes. So the companies we work with typically implement like this customer decision hub, right? And it's a centralized decision authority that across all the different channels that companies may have, figures out the next best action in during conversations, right? So what should we say? What should we not say? What price should we mention? If it's commercial, basically trying to have a very reasonable conversations, but at the same time, because most of the companies we work with are not just charities, right? So at the same time, you need to sort of improve customer value, right? So the next best action, the best in next best action, is typically some metric about customer value, and trying to improve that over time by doing, you know, the best thing possible to optimize that.
So this concept of empathy in AI is something that you'll be speaking about at the next PegaWorld, an event that your company hosts annually. I attended the last one and I'll be attending the next one. How did this idea of empathy, introducing empathy into these kinds of transactions or customer experiences, where did that come from?
Well, so I've always been interested. So before I joined Pega, at some point before that, I was a scientist, right, in AI. I did my PhD in that area, and I've always been interested in not just all the, you know, the cool things AI can do around, you know, predicting customer behavior and things like that, but also potentially the not so cool things, right? So, you know, can you trust it? Is it transparent? Is it opaque? Is there a bias? Can it go rogue? You know, those kind of things. So. Over the last years, we've really tried to sort of guard the moral high ground, if you will, around AI, and not just look at what it can, the value it can bring, but also mitigate the risk that you can have with AI. And following sort of that path, empathy was a very natural thing. I mean, you know, the bigger thing is morality. You know, the morality of AI and AI decisions, which is that's a big beast. And sort of more ethical behavior and empathy seemed to be something that was just about tangible enough to try to really put that into the product and into the vision of best practice around using AI. So we've been spending quite some time thinking about that and how you can operationalize that kind of thing.
Now, when you start talking about the morality of AI, certainly, and even to a large degree, empathy, I start to, you know, the picture in my head starts to form around, you know, what some of us will call AGI, artificial general intelligence, you know, what we talk about more commonly as like sci-fi AI, right? Is that what we're talking about here? Or are we talking about something that, you know, how can you make this more concrete for us?
Yeah, because I'm definitely not talking about that kind of thing. I mean, that's really it's interesting, right? I mean, I think everybody in AI, you know, is thinking about how that works. But I think just as a human species, if I just, you know, just even reading the news, you know, today, I think I'm not sure we have morality, you know, very, 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 very clear for everyone. At least there is a lot of discussion about what would be a moral judgment and not a moral judgment. To even expect that of AI, I think is already a tough act. But I'm certainly not talking about it in that kind of realm quite yet, although it's a very interesting topic, right? I was just thinking about, you know, self-driving cars, right? And sort of the moral judgments they may one day have to make, right, in extreme circumstances. But this is very much a sort of a smaller subset of those challenges where we're talking about customer engagement and those kind of things. And I think in that area, empathy really shows in pretty clear dimensions, like stuff like, is this, if when you're talking to me as a company and it's an AI driven conversation, is that relevant, right? Or are you wasting my time? Stuff like, is it appropriate, right? So you're talking to me about something and it may be interesting to me, but it may not be appropriate, right? Maybe you shouldn't be selling me a gun or a car or a credit card that I actually can't pay back when I'm in debt, right? So it's those kind of things. And is there mutual value? Are you talking to me for something that, you know, can we have a transaction that has a mutual value, or is it just about the company? And I think if companies implement those kind of considerations well, I think that will that will do pretty well on an empathy scorecard for starters.
Now that's interesting and actually somewhat different from the, I don't know if it's different from the direction that I thought we were going to go here, or that, you know, the picture that formed in my mind when we were talking earlier about empathy, or if one is part of the other. But I'll tell you, I'll kind of recount the picture that I have in my mind, and you let me know where it fits into this world. You know, I was envisioning primarily the kinds of interactions that you might have via a chat bot, or, you know, a chat kind of interface. And you often have, or even, you know, to the extent to which AI is driving a call center agent and their responses, because that's some of that, or IVR, you know, some of that is starting to happen. But I was envisioning kind of this set of capability where, you know, maybe the, you know, whether the chatbot or the IVR, you know, IVR is a great example, right? It's like you can, IVR should be able to tell from my voice, or could tell from my voice, that I'm getting frustrated navigating the 50 million, you know, menus, and maybe escalate me, you know, a little bit more quickly to someone. Or, you know, you can imagine the same kind of thing happening in a chat interaction where, you know, I'm interacting with this virtual agent. It's not getting what I need to do, or it's, you know, needing, asking me to repeat myself, you know, multiple times. You know, there's a degree of empathy in all that where it's understanding my, I guess I'm kind of simplifying that as understanding my emotional state and using that as part of the decisioning around what the next best action to take is.
Yeah.
But it sounds like maybe that's a piece of what you're saying, but you're also talking about, you know, maybe the broader AI ethics conversation. You're example around, you know, should we offer the credit card to the person who can't afford it is one that kind of, you know, resonates and kind of drives me in that direction.
Yeah. Now I think so I think the example that you gave, right, like is somebody getting frustrated, and those kind of things I think are a very important part of empathy, but I think it's part of the delivery mechanism. So I think what we're trying to do is sort of take that in two different layers, if you will, right? One is when you're talking to someone and somebody is getting frustrated, or if you do voice detection and or inflection and you sort of notices that somebody is getting upset, you may want to change that, may influence the next best action as part of the context. So I would call that, although it's cool, more of the sort of the superficial way of empathy, right? It's trying to feel somebody's mood and use that as a context. But that can come from a lot of different senses. It could be the, you know, as I said, the inflection of a voice. It could be when this is face to face or you're in front of a camera. It can be that, you know, people can sort of read their face, or the system can read the face of the customer and see that's not going well. But that's not the same as the underlying level of making sure that the next best action that you are contemplating is one that is empathetic or even moral, right? Mm-hmm. So I see that as two different things. I think people think about empathy a lot like you're just describing it, like, hey, I see this is making you upset, so I need to, you know, hurry this along or ask you what's wrong. And that's all cool, very human stuff. But it's on the delivery of a particular action. But determining what you're going to do, that also requires empathy. And that's more along the line of, is this relevant? Is this appropriate? Is this suitable? Those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. And do you specifically use the word empathy to distinguish it from ethics? Or are those ideas different in your mind? Or are they, you know, it's just a different word in this case?
Yeah, no, I think the if I think about ethics, that's sort of, you know, ethical behavior. I think empathy is basically the step where humans, for now, maybe AI at some point, will basically be able to, you know, place themselves in someone else's place and say, hey, if this were happening to me, you know, is this going to make me, you know, happier and things like that. So I think they are, in that sense, very, very related.
Mm. So in that sense, ethics is kind of relevant to some broader set of, you know, societal norms, whereas empathy, we don't have to figure all that out. It's just about, you know, this particular customer and am I doing the right thing by this customer?
Yes. Am I doing the right thing? And I think there are a few dimensions to that, right? Am I doing the right thing in terms of, am I forcing you to take like a risk that I actually think, you know, is too high? I already know that you won't be able to pay back that mortgage or that credit card or that thing, or you don't really need this kind of thing, right? So that's part of that decision. But also, is it relevant in the first place, right? It's an empathetic thing to not try and waste somebody's time, right? I mean, if you, I don't know about you, Sam, but if you like all these ads, all the stuff that you get, if you, you know, browse the internet and look at all of these pages, we're used to it. It doesn't show a lot of empathy, right? Everybody's trying to get your attention to do things that, you know, maybe 1% of the time you're vaguely interested in, right? So that's part of it. Is it relevant? Is it not wasting my time? Is it, do you remember the context? Do you remember that I just spoke to you in another channel, right? I just walked into the branch. I just visited your website, and now I'm going into the IVR. Do you even remember that, or are you forcing me to basically repeat everything I did, you know, in that previous channel? That's empathy, right? Empathy with customers that are trying to solve a problem or that want to get value out of their interaction with the company.
This is clearly an issue that is much bigger than AI, right? We don't have to, you know, look very far to recognize that in many ways, the previous financial crisis with the mortgage bubble grew out of giving loans to people that, you know, weren't qualified for them. And there are many, many more examples where organizations, you know, fail to exhibit the kind of empathy that you are describing that have nothing to do with artificial intelligence or machine learning. You know, why take this on from an AI perspective?
Well, I think that's a good question. And I think the answer to that is that if the way we look at customer interaction in general is to always do this next best action kind of thing. And the next best action is actually collaboration between humans, you know, inside the company, deciding on, you know, rules or thresholds or policies. Working together with AI, where AI is maybe determining the risk, it's determining the level of likely interest from the customer, and it's that combination that creates the metric for this is the best thing to do right now, right? So you're quite right. It's the, and actually that mortgage example or the bubble that you just described is a great combination, right? There are analytic models that should have said, listen. For this group of people, the risk is not really acceptable, and you shouldn't be pushing them on this level of mortgage, right? Suitability, for instance, is not taking into account, right? So it's that combination of AI and rules that I, you know, we call that decisioning or decision management that basically needs to represent empathetic behavior, right? So it's not just the AI, it's also the rules. But one of the reasons I think the AI aspect is so important is because the AI is learning, right? So it can, you know, have evolved a particular bias, right? It may be a very opaque algorithm that may have evolved that bias and you don't even know. Right. So there are a lot of aspects of AI that I think really touch on ethics and empathy as well.
When you're talking about this at PegaWorld, are you raising this as an issue that customers should start thinking about this? Are you talking about new capabilities that you're unveiling at Pega with the product that will help them address these issues? Is it, you know, or is it something else?
Well, I don't want to steal all my own thunder, but we'll definitely. So 2 years ago, one of the things that I was talking about in the keynote was about this thing called the T-switch. And the T was, you know, stands for transparency, but also for trust. And it's basically the ability that once you have this centralized next best action capability inside of your company, that you can have full control over where you allow sort of opaque algorithms like deep learning or genetic algorithms or that's kind of fancy stuff, or where you insist on more transparent algorithms that you can actually explain to a customer and that you really explain or that you really understand yourself. Mm-hmm. Right. So that was one aspect. Next up is the thing around empathy. I think it's a really good thing if companies are aware at all times how empathetic their behavior is. So think about sort of a dashboard where you would see of all the actions my company is taking. And these are, you know, the side of companies we work with, these are hundreds of millions a day, right? Hundreds of millions of interactions a day. And then being able to see, okay, these are actions that we are taking automatically as a combination of AI and rules that are not empathetic. And that means that they are going against the relevance or they are not appropriate, like not suitable. So we're talking about this credit card, but it's not really suitable, or it doesn't really create value for the customer, right? So imagine that while all of this is running, this combination of AI and rules, and it's making hundreds of millions of, you know, decisions and having all of these conversations with customers, that you can just see that as a real-time thing and say, hey, really, we're getting, you know, less empathetic. Let's see in our strategies and our customer strategies that we have, in the algorithms that we use, where we're losing that, right? Are we pushing products that we shouldn't be pushing? Don't we have the rules that are determining suitability? It's those kind of things. And then in addition to that, I think we can also determine sort of the cost of not being empathetic, right? So if you, for instance, if you are going against somebody's interest, and I mean interest in terms of relevance, right? So what a lot of marketing is currently doing, right? They're spamming you with stuff. They're wasting your time on things that are actually not that relevant to you. It would be good to not only know the percentage of events where that happens. It would also be really good if you had a sense of the money you're actually losing. And you can calculate that mathematically by, for instance, saying, hey, this is what we actually talked about to this customer. We talked about this mortgage, and the customer said no to it because it wasn't relevant. What we could have been talking about is this particular issue that we spotted, in a different channel or last week or an hour ago, or maybe a much more relevant offer that we didn't think we wanted to do because the margin was, you know, not as big as on the mortgage, right? Making that a transparent thing, having people own the kind of, empathy level of the brand, I think is a really important thing going forward.
It strikes me that latter point around quantifying the cost of these non-empathetic actions is really a big part of where the problem lies. It's easy to know the cost of the expected revenue or profit from offering something, but a lot harder to know the cost of just wasting the customer's time or, you know, reducing the brand goodwill because of some series of, you know, less relevant or poor experiences. How do you overcome that gap?
Yeah, well, I think some of the math actually works out quite nicely, right? So remember that when we do this next best action, and I said before, the best is a function of, you know, the value that is created in the relationship. So the math works out that you actually can know that if you go against the propensity, because, for instance, you're selling, let's use this mortgage example that works really well. If you are thinking this is not particularly relevant, but if the customer says yes, this is the margin, this is the money I, as a bank in this case, will make, right? If you calculate all the times a customer said no, because you're basically offering stuff that's not particularly relevant, just, you know, you're hoping that the customer will say yes. How could we have used that moment? How could we have used that interaction with the customer in a better way that would have created more value? If you just multiply that with the hundreds of millions of decisions you make, you get to a monetary value.
And do you find in examples like this that, you know, there's some explicit decision that where the customer is saying, hey, let's offer this more profitable thing, even though we know it's not as relevant? Or does that happen in more subtle ways?
No, I don't think these ways are particularly subtle, right? So the way we work is like, so to do this next best action, right, we would calculate every single thing. This is also part of this hyper-personalization vision, right? To be completely one-to-one, it means that of all the possible conversations you could have, right, you're going to rate them in real time based on the context, and you're going to say, this is the thing we are going to talk about as a combination of what the AI thinks is particularly appropriate and relevant, as well as my rules that I have around profitability and inventory and all of those kind of things, right? So it's that combination, but we calculate them all in parallel. So it's relatively easy to see, okay, this is what we chose to actually talk about, but this is what we could have talked about if we had weighted suitability higher, or if we didn't overrule this very low or this very high propensity and said, well, even though that's relevant, it's not what we want to talk about. Right, so you can see how you get a drop off of typical or of specific conversation topics that you decide not to pursue for other reasons, and that's what you can calculate.
Is the task then starting to you know build awareness on the part of customers or users or kind of the industry as a whole to incorporate these types of empathy metrics, if we call them that, into their systems, their rules, their algorithms, and start to, is it as, I don't know if simple is the right word, but is it as simple as, you know, just, you know, starting to try to put numbers around these, you know, suitability, context aware, relevance, you know, risk, and then feeding them into your automation tooling with kind of appropriate weights, or does it go beyond that?
I think the way you describe it. So what we're trying to do is, first of all,
that's like an easy task. Conclusion or anything like that.
No, that's not easy in itself. But what we're trying to do is, first of all, make it very explicit. So when we talk about next best action, we have there are patterns that we've seen that are, you know, repeatedly successful, and they include things like relevance, suitability, mutual value, risk mitigation, right? So the tooling and the methodology already encourage companies to at least think about it, right? They may think, okay, well, for suitability, we really don't care about it, all right, or not as much, or we let profitability trump suitability anytime, right? But at least if you follow the product guidance, you will have take all of these considerations into account, right? So there is an ethical framework built into the software, into the strategies that it will generate. So that's one aspect of it. And then the other aspect of it are like these, the dashboard that you will show, right? So it's basically shaming companies a little bit if they won't, right? Having them self-shame them into appropriate behavior, right? Where they would say, hey, listen, we cranked up profitability, but it's at the expense of suitability or customer interest. And at least I think the awareness and the transparency around these things will be, leading to better behavior.
How does a company begin to put tangible numbers and costs around things like mutual value and suitability and context awareness and relevance? I mean, relevance is maybe easier because it impacts like propensity to buy. Risk is something that's kind of fundamentally numerical, but like some of these others are a little bit squishier maybe.
Yeah. Well, but I think the, you know, you're right. And I think the from what we've seen is that sort of the less squishy things, right, are once you are aware that you need to put them in, and it's and that the AI or the decisioning in general touching, you know, 100 million, making 100 million decisions, in all the different channels with all of your customers, that is part of your brand, right? And you need to protect that. I think that's a very important thing. I think for the squishier things, I think what we also encourage and also make possible is continuous experimentation, right? So there's control groups. There is all sorts of things where you can, you know, for a small percentage, a small sample of the customers, you can actually measure if you're having an effect, right? If they have a positive response to the brand, and you can see if, what kind of strategy changes would improve that. And that is a best practice kind of thing to do. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any examples of folks that you've worked with that you can kind of walk us through how this all plays out and how they went about making, you know, kind of incorporating these ideas into the way they make decisions?
Yes, I think even before we sort of, you know, invested in all this around, empathy, and also before the transparency and opacity, it's not like, you know, these big brands are not aware of these issues, right? I mean, I think 10 years ago, maybe longer ago, I had long conversation with banks that were sued for like mis-selling. Right, that I think, you know, we've seen more recent examples where obviously these companies want to sort of, you know, control that, even if just for their own sake, right, to not be part of some class action. And in the next best action methodology, stuff like relevance, appropriateness, value, and risk have always been sort of first class citizens, right? What we're now trying to do is to make sure that it's much harder to break those patterns, or if you are, you know, don't want to be compliant with these kind of ethics practices, you at least have to make the effort. I think to your question, I think especially the banks, I think we see that in other industries as well, are getting very worried about their brand image in that regard, and they are putting, you know, suitability criteria, for instance, is a pretty hot topic right now. They're putting that as part of their next best action strategy. We just want to help them by showing the cost of that and the benefits of that.
Okay. You mentioned compliance in there. Do you envision a time where an enterprise will have a formal empathy compliance regime? Will it be called that? Or will it be called something else? Does it already exist under some other guise?
I think that definitely will happen. In some cases, already happens. I don't think it's called empathy. It's probably more on an ethics board, where they and again, it's not only about the the company itself. It's also about, you know, basically a compliance issue out of self-interest, especially now. And this is where the AI is so important, where there's so much self-learning going on this incredible scale that, there could be a bias and there could be all sorts of things happening that may not be so easy to control or even spot, right? So I know that some of the companies I talk to, and these are larger companies, but they have like a board already for all the algorithms that are involved in customer interaction, And I think that's a sensible thing to do, right? It's part of what inspired this, you know, this transparency or trust switch in the software to make sure that all AI is at least you can control, you know, the level of transparency that you require in certain circumstances talking to customers.
Do you envision like a chief empathy officer? It sounds like no, it's probably going to be, if anything, it'll be a chief ethics officer or some other role. Where do you see this all sitting?
Yeah, well, I think this is a very interesting topic because I think this will become very, very important if it isn't already. And I think you will get into a situation where you have at the first level AI trying to, you know, check other AI, you know, for biases or unethical behavior, right? Because it's just a lot, right? And it would only escalate if such a bias or other irregularities is detected. But it's certainly, and again, I'm talking about the larger companies, you know, with tens to hundreds of millions of customers, that are very worried about, especially with the level of automation that's now available, and then AI that is dynamically learning new things or evolving new things, to have an ethics board like that. And we try from a product perspective, we try to make sure that, like, you have QA tests on, you know, quality assurance tests on performance and other things, that as a matter of course, you would do the same thing around bias detection or other irregularities before you release, you know, the next version of your corporate brain, so to speak, right? To make that easier.
I think the ideas of kind of making these more empathetic types of qualities of your various offers, you know, it's as you've suggested throughout this conversation, it's very much kind of connected to this idea of transparency, right? There are, you know, these dollars and cents things that we kind of build into decision-making algorithms all the time, but there's all this other stuff that goes into the customer experience. And what we're doing here, you know, what we're calling empathy is really the idea of making a lot of those non prima facie financial aspects, you know, A, more transparent, and then B, like trying to make them more financial or putting numbers against them. And then, you know, incorporating them into decision-making, dashboarding them so that there's some awareness of them and so that the organization can manage against them. Really interesting set of ideas around how to make this idea of AI ethics a lot more tangible.
Tangible, I think, is the right word. So are there straightforward ways to, you know, make sure that in our customer strategies, you know, empathy is well represented and we can choose to ignore it? But then there are these, as you say, these dashboarding, these gauges, these dials that show you, that shame you into some compliance. And also, let's not forget that, like, I think the reason we as humans have empathy, you know, there can be lots of different theories around that, but personally, I think that evolved, right? It evolved out of a desire to collaborate, right? So it's, empathy is not like a cost to the company. Empathy is actually establishing your, you know, better relationship and a longer term relationship with your customers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it'd be interesting to kind of follow along with this work and see, you know, I'd love to hear a case study of, you know, how a customer kind of implements this end to end once you've got this out and in the market and have folks working with it. Yeah, I mentioned PegaWorld earlier. Any, besides from your own keynote, other things that you're looking forward to at the conference?
Yeah, well, I mean, this will be the biggest effort, so it's always just very exciting about you know, to show people, you know, where we are at. And it's not just about empathy, right? It's about also making decisions in general at a huge scale, you know, with this real time AI on the one hand. And then on the other hand, and that's also part of empathy, although we didn't talk about it right now, but then following up on it, right? With, the processes, right? So we are really, and you will hear a lot about that at PegaWorld. We're trying to, you know, have that. That combination very strongly. So it's we have the AI and the decisioning to decide what to do, right? And then we have sort of the end-to-end automation that will tell the company how to do it and to do it fast and efficiently, which also plays into empathy. So I really love that interplay between sort of decisions and processes. So I'm expecting a lot of really good discussions and presentations from our customers.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Rob, I'm looking forward to seeing you once again at the event. Thanks so much for taking the time to jump on and talk this through with us.
Okay. Well, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, everyone. That's our show for today. For more information on Rob or any of the topics covered in this episode, visit twimmelai.com/talk/248. Be sure to leave your thoughts on AI empathy while you're there. As always, thanks so much for listening, and catch you next time.